The message tonight is peace be still.
Thank you, Jesus.
Peace be still. We serve a miracle working God. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, and God can do something good in your life. Tonight we're reading from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Now Jesus and his disciples were by the Sea of Galilee, most likely near the area of Capernaum. And Jesus was wanting to go over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. Verse 36. There were also other boats with him. So leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. So if you read in the early part of Mark chapter 4, Jesus was teaching the crowds from a boat. And so most likely they were using that boat that he was teaching from to sail across the Sea of Galilee. So it says in verse 37, a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. So the way the geography is set up there around the Sea of Galilee, you've got mountains on the east, and the way the wind runs through causes storms to appear on the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus and the disciples happened to be caught up in this furious storm. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, verse 39, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Another translation says, "Peace, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." So we see in this passage that Jesus was in the stern. He was in the back of the boat, sleeping on a cushion. Now, Jesus in his humanity was tired. If you go back to Mark chapter 1, he was baptized by John in the Jordan, and then he began his ministry. He cast the devil out. He healed the sick. Jesus was teaching the people. He was giving parables. So Jesus was going from one ministry event to another. And you know, God's work, ministry, is hard work. And Jesus, in his humanity, was tired. So he was sleeping in the back of the boat on a cushion. So we see in this passage two opposite reactions to this furious storm. They're sailing on the Sea of Galilee, across the sea. And all at once, a storm comes about. And this boat is rocked back and forth. And we see two different reactions, two opposite reactions to this storm. Number one, we see the reaction of the disciples. How did they react in verse 38, the last part of verse 38? They reacted in fear. You see, fear expects the worst possible end result. What did the disciples say? They said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" The disciples were expecting to drown. They were operating in fear in reaction to this storm on the Sea of Galilee. And then we have the opposite reaction. The reaction of whom? Of Jesus. The reaction of Jesus was a reaction of faith. We see this in verse 38, the first part of verse 38. You see, faith expects the best possible end result. Jesus knew that Father God was faithful and would bring them through the storm. Jesus was reacting in faith to the storm. How do we know that Jesus was reacting in faith to this severe storm? Think about it. How do we know that Jesus reacted in faith to the storm on the Sea of Galilee as they were sailing across? Because he was sleeping in peace in the back of the boat.
He was sleeping in peace. He was not all worked up. He was sleeping calmly.
You know, the storm didn't shake him. He was sleeping right through it. He knew that that boat was in the palm of God's hand. Jesus knew that boat wasn't going to tip. Jesus knew they weren't going to drown. Jesus knew that God the Father was faithful. Jesus knew that God the Father had their back. Jesus knew that God would never leave them nor forsake them. Jesus knew that God was the captain of that boat. Is that good news here tonight? Jesus reacted in faith. He was sleeping in peace in the middle of the storm. You know, we all know that weather-related storms happen in life all the time. There's winds that come through Oklahoma. There's tornadoes that come through Oklahoma, right? There's hurricanes that hit coastal cities. You know, there's monsoons that hit other countries. So there's always weather-related storms that come to this earth. But if you've lived life and continue to live, figurative storms will come into your life. If you've lived life at all and you continue to live, storms figuratively will come into your life. Maybe your storm is that you received a bad medical diagnosis, maybe a cancer diagnosis that the doctors are saying there's no cure for. Maybe your storm is that you received word that your child is deathly ill. Maybe your storm is that you received word that your wages are being garnished to pay an expense. Maybe the storm in your life is that somebody has left you, or somebody maybe is divorcing you. And you know, when a storm hits a person's life, the most natural human reaction is what? When a storm hits your life, and maybe you're in the middle of a storm right now, what is the most natural human reaction? It's fear. What does fear say? Fear says, my child will die. You know, fear says this wage garnishment will result in permanent homelessness. You know, fear says this divorce will cause me to be alone and single for the rest of my life. And that a lot of times worry, fear's relative, will also intrude when a storm hits. What is worry? Worry is thinking about the same problem over and over and over again, mulling on it, thinking about it, talking to others about it, to the point where you get anxious and you can't even sleep at night. But I encourage you that if a storm has hit your life, if you're in the middle of a storm in your life right now, respond as Jesus did in the middle of the storm. Respond in faith and trust in God. What does the writer of Hebrews say in Hebrews 12, verse 2? He says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Amen?
Amen.
If you're in the middle of a storm right now in your life, I encourage you to react with faith like Jesus reacted with faith to the storm in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. Respond with faith, expecting the best possible outcome, because the boat of your life is in the palm of God's hand. He will not let you tip. He will not let you drown. God has got your back. God is faithful. God turns seemingly impossible situations into possible situations. We serve a miracle-working God. Say it with me tonight. I serve a miracle-working God. As opposed to fear, what does faith say? Faith says, God is able to cure this disease. The doctors say there is no hope for me, but I serve the divine physician. I serve the divine surgeon. God can turn it around for me. That's how faith speaks. Faith expects the best possible end result. Faith says this, my child will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Faith says this garnishment of my wages will not result in permanent homelessness. God will provide me my own place one day. That's faith speaking, friends.
Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because he who comes to God must believe that God exists and that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know, faith says this: this divorce won't end in loneliness for the rest of my life. God is able to bring somebody else into my life. Is that good news here tonight? Amen. Say it with me tonight. Faith expects the best possible end result. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, and on the Sea of Galilee during that storm, Jesus sleeping in the back of the boat, he was expecting the best possible end result, because he knew that boat was in the palm of God's hand. Let me read you an illustration here. It says this, very fitting for the message tonight. Years ago, the captain of an ocean liner took his young daughter along on his run from Liverpool, England to New York City. One night, when all the passengers were asleep, the huge vessel ran into some violent weather. The wind came sweeping over the water and mighty swells rolled across the bow of the ship. All movable objects were being tossed about, and everyone soon sensed the imminent danger. Many sprang from their berths in alarm and began to dress. The captain's little girl, 8 years old, was awakened and cried out, "What's the matter?" When told about the storm, she asked, "Is my father steering the ship?" Being assured that he was, she put her head on the pillow, and in spite of the howling gale and crashing waves, she was soon fast asleep. She had full confidence and faith in her dad, the captain of that ship. She knew they weren't going to drown. She knew they would make it through the storm. That's childlike faith. That's the faith God is requiring of us, is childlike faith. Knowing that you know deep down on the inside, beyond the shadow of any doubt, that what God has promised to you, God is able to perform in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Is that good news here tonight? Faith expects the best possible end result. And when a storm hits your life, if you're in the middle of a storm in your life right now, start speaking faith. I may have lost my job, but I believe that God soon is able to give me a better job and a better paying job. That is faith speaking in the middle of the storm of losing a job. If you've lost your place to stay, what does faith say? Faith says, God is able to provide me with a better place, even though you're in the middle of the storm of having lost your place, your apartment perhaps. Amen? So for the next few minutes, I want to talk about developing your faith in God. When a storm comes into your life and puts the squeeze on you, what's in you will come out. When the storm figuratively hits your life and puts the squeeze on you, what's in you will come out. If you're full of fear, then fear and negativity will come out of your mouth. If you're full of faith in God, then faith-filled words will come out of your mouth when the storm hits your life. You will be expecting the best possible end results. Now let's read verse 40 of Mark chapter 4. He said to his disciples, why? See, Jesus calmed the storm, right? And then he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Interesting, right? Interesting question. When Jesus asked them, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? It was like he might have been saying, now that you have seen me calm the storm, you should be full of faith, disciples. You have just seen me calm the storm. You should now be full of faith. It's almost as if he calmed the storm and they were still struggling with a little bit of fear. They were probably all worked up because of the storm. Does that make sense? And so Jesus asked them, he says, I just calmed the storm. Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They should have realized that the Prince of Peace was in the boat with them. You know, some of the disciples even saw the miracles of Jesus in the first three chapters of Mark. They should have remembered that Jesus calmed other figurative storms. He cast devils out, he healed the sick, so forth and so on. And still, in the middle of the storm, they got nervous and fearful. So for us, to develop our faith in God, what do we need to do? To strengthen your faith in God, what do we need to do? Remember this word, remember. To develop your faith in God, to strengthen your faith, this expectation of the best possible end result, you've got to do what? You've got to remember. Remember the past smaller storms that God brought you through. Say it with me tonight. I've got to remember the past storms that God has brought me through. In Jesus' name. Maybe at one time it was a week's worth of groceries that you were believing God for you and your family. Maybe you guys were hungry. Maybe you were almost starving, and God miraculously provided the groceries. And now you're facing a much larger need. Maybe a month's worth of rent or 2 months' worth of rent. Remember what God did for you in the past. If God provided for you in the past in a smaller way, now in a bigger way, He's still able to provide. Remember, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means God is the same. He never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God who brought you through that small storm in the past, way back when, is the same God who can bring you through the bigger storm you're facing in your life right now. Could you say amen here tonight?
Amen.
Is that good news?
Good news.
God can do it for you. Maybe God healed you at one point in the past. Maybe it was high blood pressure. And maybe you considered it a small storm. And maybe now you're facing a more severe illness in your life. Remember the God who brought you through the storm, the small storm in the past. That same God is able to deliver you out of the bigger storm in the here and now. Amen?
Amen.
You've got to remember the goodness of God, the miracle working power of God, what He did for you in the past. And remember that He never changes. He is always the same. And God is no respecter of persons. The God who healed and did miracles thousands of years ago in Bible times is the same God here tonight in Tulsa who still does miracles. Amen?
Amen.
Another way to develop your faith in God, to strengthen your faith in God, is by reading the Word of God. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The books that you read, the media that you put into your mind, affects the way you think. Why not put the greatest book in the world, the Bible, in your mind and in your spirit? Get into the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I encourage you to get into this Word. I encourage you to read the Gospels on a consistent basis to see the miracles that Jesus performed when He walked this earth over 2,000 years ago. And as you read about those miracles and you meditate on those miracles and you meditate on the miracle working power of God, it will strengthen and increase your faith. Is that good news here tonight? Could somebody say amen?
Amen.
You know, maybe some of you read the Word of God two or three times a year. Maybe at Easter, maybe at Thanksgiving, maybe at Christmas. Reading God's Word two or three times a year is not going to cut it. You need to be in the Word of God on a consistent basis. This is your spiritual food. How many like to eat breakfast just once a week? Not me. I like to eat breakfast 7 days a week. I like my oatmeal 6 to 7 days a week. I like my breakfast, you know, 7 days a week. How about you? Right? That physical breakfast gives you what? Gives you physical energy for the day's activities. Why not start off your day with reading the Word of God? It's like your spiritual breakfast. It gives you divine strength to face the storms of life. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Get into the Word of God, not just once in a blue moon. Get into the Word of God on a consistent basis. And start renewing your mind by the washing of the water of the Word. That's how you build up your faith, by being in the Word of God. Reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and even Paul's epistles. Get into the Word of God. Even the Old Testament. Get into Genesis. Read the Word of God consistently. Amen?
Amen.
So that your faith will grow. What is faith? I mentioned that just a while ago. What is faith? Faith is knowing that you know deep down on the inside that God is able to do a miracle in your life. You might be in a storm right now in your life. God can bring you through. Faith is knowing that God can bring you through the storm and give you the miracle you're believing for. Maybe you've been believing a month, maybe 2 months, maybe 5 months, maybe 10 years. I encourage you, keep on keeping on with your faith in God. Don't give up. You've got to wait sometimes. All right? Abraham. How old was Abraham of old in the Old Testament when God promised to make him into a great nation?
Oh, 8 plus.
He was 75 years old. How old was he when the promised son Isaac came into his life through whom he would become a great nation? He was 75 when God promised him. How old was he when Isaac, the promised son, was born? 100. That's right. So if you take 100 minus 75, you have how many years? 25 years. Abraham, for 25 years, without wavering in his faith, believed for that miracle. And maybe you've been believing a year, maybe 5 years, maybe 10 years. I encourage you, keep on keeping on. Amen? Keep up the faith in God, because God is faithful. He's got your back. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will bring you through the storm and give you a miracle on the other side.